Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we are joined by the fabulous Carolyn Robertson. Welcome.
Good evening.
Now, Carolyn, you are a mother of two, an author, a teacher and a blogger.
I am.
And your blog is called Sparkly Poo.
It is, yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name?
Because my youngest son shits glitter.
Oh, right. Wow. Is he a unicorn? What? That sounds amazing.
No, bless him. He's got a bit of an issue with colourful, pretty objects and paint and crayons and anything, really. And he imbibes it. And the first time it happened, it was green poo. I was like, bloody hell. And then the next time, it was red poo, which was really frightening. And then finally it was sparkly poo. So then I got wind of what was going on. And
all the colours of the rainbow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's still going on even now in nursery at school. He's still...
If it's any consolation, my younger brother, who has now survived to the age of 31, also did that when he was... He once ate... So my dad was a stand-up comedian, and as part of his act, he wore like dealy boppers with like sparkly red glitter balls. It was very, very funny. So he wore these things and he left them on the bed one day, and my baby brother got hold of them and ate them, and sure enough did a poo like the ruby slippers. It was amazing. And he's turned out fine.
You never know.
Yeah, he's cut right down now.
No.
So yeah, he's fine.
I saw on Facebook, which is always a great source of information, that you can actually buy capsules. If you take these capsules, then you can have a sparkly sh- So there you go.
Why would you want that? And who would you share that with?
There are people out there, really.
I sort of want to do that. I think it sounds like a fun evening in. I'm not sure I would invite anyone round to sharing it, but I think that sounds like a few hours of me time. I could really get on board with
backing
that.
Backing out some kryptonite. Great.
Nice.
Well, that sets the tone. And hello to the new listeners.
We may be still listening.
I don't think so. But I'll count that as a download. For those of you who are new to the podcast, I'm Helen and I'm a mother of two. I have a 6-year-old Matilda and a 3-year-old Hugo. And I have a husband, Will. And I think on the first podcast, we talked about how I loved him most of the time. About 75%. So I thought I'd update that.
Oh, what's that? Where are we now?
I reckon about 80%.
Oh.
We've just been on holiday, Ellie.
Are you going to tell us something about your sex life, Ellie?
Only if you want me to.
No, I do. That's why you said that.
It was our anniversary.
Oh, yeah. The last time you had sex.
Yes.
Once a year, cut a hole in a sheet and off you go.
Lovely to lovely time.
Oh, did you? Was it nice then?
It was very pleasant.
Was it picnic sex?
It was picnic
sex. This is Helen's phrase that she uses for nice, certain... gentle
vanilla.
Vanilla sex. Nothing too grunty.
You don't like monster trucks.
No elbows. No. Yeah. No knees. Just.
I like a picnic on a monster truck. Now,
yeah. Okay. I'm about 80%. How about you? What's your situation?
Oh, actually quite high because of recent events. So, again, if you're just listening, I just had a baby a little while ago and he was 2 months premature. And the whole thing has been pretty traumatic, obviously. But it has actually meant that Pete and I have spent more time together in the last sort of month than we have in about 4 years. Because we're going back to the hospital all the time, put together, and my mum's been brilliant looking after Charlie for us, so we go on our own. And yeah, we've spent loads of time together, and some of it rowing, I won't lie to you. It's a very tense, stressful situation.
Don't go changing things.
But also, we've had some real laughs. I mean, that sounds awful. Like, oh, we go to the hospital, we go to the neonatal unit, it's hilarious. It's like, carry on, doctor. Oh, we laugh and laugh and laugh.
You put in silly hats on the child.
That's right, we go around all the babies, drawing little moustaches in the incubators. They're marvellous.
Little Adolf. Fu Minchu.
So I would say we're at a pretty high percentage. Less. Yeah. What about you, Carolyn? How's your marriage? We've just met. I'll just ask you that. How's your relationship?
It's lovely, thank you.
Oh, good girl.
It is. It's lesbian bliss.
Oh, how nice. Do you want to put a percentage on it, or
right now? Vicky is currently at home doing her penance, which is sock heaven. So she's got all the socks. I found all the socks I could in the house and left them all over the dining room table and said, pair them. So she's got sock heaven to deal with, or sock hell.
Sock mountain.
As someone who's quite anal, that does sound like my idea of heaven. I love that. That's a great evening in for me.
That just sounds like my house.
Can I do your socks?
You can do everything.
Please. Can I label them as well, left and right?
They're all black though.
Oh, lovely. Anyway, so welcome to the podcast. Now tell us about your family.
There's four of us. There's myself and Vicky, my wife. And we've got two boys. So Biff is 7. Mm-hmm. And he's currently away on a school journey for 4 days. But we're being updated on Twitter, which is really exciting.
By the school?
Yeah.
So yeah, every day we get updated with little pictures of what they're doing. And you got to the top of the climbing wall today. So well done, son.
That's nice, isn't it? Stephen Fry's retweeting it. It's very exciting.
Go, Biff, go!
And we have another little boy, Buster, who is now 4.
So your boys are adopted.
They are.
Yeah, when did they come to live with you?
Biff came to us when he was 8 months old, so he was very tiny, and Buster was nearly 2. So it was quite a big difference between taking on board an 8-month-old and a 2-year-old, actually. We got all the milestones with Biff as well, because he could barely sit when we first got him. He was just at that whoa stage of falling backwards off the cushions. So we had all the first steps, first words, first teeth, and it was an amazing experience. We kind of forget that we didn't give birth to him. Whereas Buster, because he was nearly 2, it was a different experience, because he was walking, talking, he was moving around into everything. So, yeah, very different experiences, but both brilliant. Mm.
Did it take him longer to settle then? Was he more aware that he'd had...
Much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely much longer. And he... I think he struggled with us for the... Definitely. Well, there was a honeymoon period, and then after that, he really struggled for the first... probably say 8-9 months, and he still issues come up now, and it wasn't as smooth running as our first son, but they're great boys.
So how did you reach a decision to adopt? Was it something you both always wanted to do, or
no? It was my choice. I'd always wanted to be a mum. I think probably after at the time I hit 30, it was something that was important to me. When I first met Vicky, she was adamant she did not want to have children. That was just her thing. There was no way. So I worked on her, wore down. And in the end, I actually tried to make a baby with a gay friend. And we were successful, but sadly lost the baby. But throughout that process, Vicky was more and more on board and a bit more supportive and a bit more getting her head around what she wanted. And we had a discussion after I lost the baby, which was a positive discussion in that she said, actually, why don't we do this together? Why don't we adopt? It would be a lot more equitable. I'd feel more on board. Mm. And I think she was kind of worried about the idea of me being like a birth mum with another person involved. It would be like a 3-way relationship, and she didn't want that. Mm. And so from that discussion, we then... contacted an adoption agency, and actually it was Southwark Council first, and then we went to Sutton. And that's
why did you switch?
Because I'm a teacher in Southwark, and they were worried it was a conflict of interest if I was to adopt from Southwark.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so we moved to Sutton. And also we were told we were too white.
Right.
And there weren't any white babies in Southwark.
So I was confused about that. So now, is it easier for gay parents to adopt now?
Yeah, well, the law changed. Before, you couldn't. And I don't know the exact year it happened. I'm thinking it was probably about 11 years ago that the law changed to allow same-sex couples to adopt. And that was largely because the amounts of children in care, I think the statistics are about 162,000. It's like a massive amount of children in the care system. And they just could not generate enough adopters through the heterosexual community. And also, with all the kind of IVF fertility treatments that are around, it just means that there's this burgeoning population of kids who are looked after, who've been removed from their homes, and not enough carers or adopters, potential adopters, to take them on board. So it kind of was sensible to open it up to the LGBT community.
You came about by deciding together that you wanted to adopt a child, and then what were the sort of first steps then?
You go on a preparation course where you meet other potential adopters. So you're assigned a social worker, and the social worker then comes and interviews you and turns your life apart. you have a massive form to fill out that they do with you, and you talk about your life, your past history, your how you were parented, and why you want to be a parent. And it's quite intrusive. But at the same time, I think necessary, because at the end of the day, most children who are adopted because they have been removed from their birth family, and they come with issues. And they can be quite mild issues, quite far-reaching issues, emotional, behavioural. But it's kind of important that you know what you're letting yourself in for.
So knowing what you know now, looking back, is that the biggest piece of advice you would have for people considering this?
Yeah, to be realistic, and also I think throughout the process, and actually now looking back at it as a parent with school age kids as well, is it's just knowing that that potentially, not always, but potentially your child is just a little bit different, and the difference is that they are part of another family, and they'll always be part of another family, and they are also part of your family. But kind of acknowledging that difference and being aware and sensitive to that. And also there's difference in terms of when children are moved and removed, and often if they've had a past where they've been neglected or abused, it impacts on how they are in a school environment, in a nursery environment. And it's important to try and not judge or gauge your child against other children as well. And that's been a big learning curve for me, and one of the hardest things, actually.
That's something I'm still working on myself. You know.
But you can't gauge and judge, and I'm sure there's loads of other people with lots of different life experiences, and it's a similar thing. But, I've stopped kind of gauging my sons against other kids in their peer group, because actually there's no point.
No. That's like Hugo and Charlie are just equally mental, aren't they? They're just
violent. Ellie and I, our two boys were born 11 days apart by the same midwife.
Wow. I thought you were say the same dad then. I'd be like,
that's right, we've very been close. One dad. It's very, very good.
That's it. So, but it is. I mean, like, we're having, you get the judgy eyes of mums and dads, and the teeth sucking, don't you go?
Yeah.
Which is always pleasant, you know.
Absolutely.
You think you're part of this lovely community when you're a mum, and it's like, no, it's not quite like that.
Mm-mm.
And I think I was reading about in your blogs, Buckley Poo. I just wanted an opportunity to say Buckley Poo. But yeah, about you, especially with your first child, Biff, going along to mothers groups, and there's this thing about, you know, breastfeeding mothers have their little clique, and the CT group have their little clique, and you do. If you're not part of those cliques, you can feel very
it was
isolated.
Really hard. It was hard to break into them as well, and I didn't really have any common ground of like, you know, I couldn't have any boob talk because I hadn't done that.
Just get
I
your couldn't boobs have out any... anyway.
Couldn't do boob talk. Couldn't do scar talk. Couldn't do bump talk. I couldn't do any of that. And then similarly, the other thing was he didn't look anything like me, so I used to get, I bet Dad's blonde.
And I was like, where do I start?
It was quite tricky those first few months, and very isolating, because none of my friends were around really, because I'd already done the baby thing, because I was quite, I was, what, 38 by the time Biff arrived. And most of my friends had had their babies in the early, mid-30s. And they were all at school, so I was kind of on my own with it, and that was that was hard, and I didn't not having the NCT thing though, the connections, it was difficult.
Little tip for you, just going back to the, you know, it didn't look like his dad thing, a little game I like to play just to see the look on people's face when they go, oh, didn't he look like his dad? I go, yeah, of course, we'll never really know who the father is. That shuts them up, sets them on their way. That's the end of that tedious conversation. Yeah, you can have that.
So, I guess, so you and Vicky, you decided to do the adoption thing. You went through all the processes and you had visitations as well.
Was it a bit from spirits? No.
Marilyn and Elvis came to us and they said, you must adopt a child.
That's what it did sound like. Sorry.
We didn't have the visitations. I'm just doing an aura reading, see. I can feel that.
Don't like when you say aura.
It's weird. I'll say hashtag and you'll throw up.
Oh, you say hashtag again, I'll throw you out my ass. I'm sorry.
We didn't have any visitations, so no. Or calling. None of that. But every now and again, a social worker would pop around and and give us a bit of a grilling over something. They just kind of come around and ask you questions and inspect how many empty bottles you have in your recycling bin, which we hid because we were wise to this, and we were actually told by one.
Wow, they actually do that.
Yeah, they did. Our social worker actually said we were talking about how we would celebrate our. Our news.
Oh, the and twist we, in the questions.
Yeah. We said, oh, we'd pop open some champagne. And she says, well, you do know we are monitoring your alcohol intake. And
oh, my God.
Right, okay. So the next thing, next time she came around, all the recycling in the back garden.
Wow. Helen, you and I would never be allowed to adopt a child.
No, well, this is it. This is it, you know.
Yeah.
I had sex for 10 minutes and then I had a baby.
10?
Right. Yeah.
Good night in.
Yeah. The process, how long does it actually take sort of from go to woe?
That's nice.
Sorry,
go to woe. I just heard what you said.
Go to woe. No, she's Australian. She just says these expressions. Just let it go. Honestly, you'll drive yourself nuts.
Go to woe.
This is how they talk on Women's Hour. I've been
in Australia. Hi, I'm Jane Garvey. Is that what she says?
Yeah, welcome.
And go to woe.
Okay, yeah.
Tell us about your bed. Uh-huh. Keep it clean. Keep them clean.
Completely lost what you were talking.
Sorry.
About.
Sorry, okay. We were talking about.
So I'll rephrase it. Ellie will edit out anything I say that's inappropriate. So
8-minute podcast. Good.
So from making the decision to adopt to bringing home your beautiful baby.
Yes.
How long was that?
Actually, it was quite quick. It was under a year. I think it was about 10 months.
Oh, amazing!
So it was quite quick, yeah. And the recent legislation from the government is that it's going to be 8 months max for adopters.
Oh, really?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. It is amazing, but the flip side of it is actually the whole process, I think, needs to be quite long because you need to do quite a lot of soul searching and prep for it, because it's different. It's different from having a birth child in that you don't have the 9 months of prep and you don't have the 9 months of... getting your kind of body, mind, everything ready. It's quite quick, and you can get a phone call once you've been approved, and it can be right in 3 weeks' time.
Wow.
Introduction start. Like
wow.
Yeah. What I think is quite good about the whole process is it's not like you get to cherry pick. You don't get kind of a booklet of children.
It's not like the Bowdoin catalogue.
It's not like that. Although that's quite a good idea. No. Basically, you have to look at a profile of a child without any pictures initially, and to see if you're going to be a good match with that child and they're going to be a good match for you. And it's all written information. And we weren't actually given the picture of Biff until we said, yes, we would like to adopt this child.
Oh, wow.
So it was quite late into the process.
Mm.
And we did. We got this little picture, and it was the most coveted picture ever, and the most scanned and handed round, and everybody had a picture of this little boy.
And when you first looked at it, did you get a wave of "That's my baby, that's my child"?
Yeah, I sobbed. Basically, we got the picture, and we just disappeared, and we went to the pub actually, and we just looked at it, and just looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it, and also because, you know, I'd spent so long wanting to be a mum. And trying to be a mum, through conventional-ish methods, that when actually we did see this little boy, it all suddenly became real. And it was a fantastic feeling, really fantastic. Aww.
You're properly welling up.
I know. It's so lovely.
So jet lagged.
No, it's lovely. It's really. I'm always like this. But no, it's really lovely. And so in terms of preparation, I mean, because obviously a lot of us who have had birth children, we do a preparation course and everyone nags at you. As soon as you see a bump, people go, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And I loved it in your blog that you talked about, you going, oh, shit, we haven't changed nappies. And you bought some big teddies and then were...
We went to the the foster carers, and the first time we met Biff, and then she made a joke of, oh, you know, he's done a wee, he wants to change his nappy. We're like, and because we're only there for the first hour, we didn't have to.
Yeah.
But then I got back home that night and said to Vic, oh God, I've never changed a nappy before. How do you do it? And she's like, oh, of course I know. But she didn't. And so actually it was one of her teddies. It was one of those like really massive ones that she had from being a small child. So we got some nappies, tiny Pampers, and we actually spent half an hour practicing like which way does it go around. So we looked really professional in front of the foster care, like, yes. Of course I've changed so many nappies
in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what made you decide to start writing a blog about your experiences?
Because I, when I first adopted, I didn't find that there were many resources to kind of support me through the process.
Do you mean as a gay parent specifically or just as an adoptive parent?
I think the common denominator actually is an adoptive parent, because I've thought about this and I don't think it is just about being a gay parent. I think the whole adoption thing is very different. But no, there was Adoption UK website, so they've got like a message board. So I went on there and BAF and I read their stuff. But I actually wanted kind of real support. And I think blogs are a great way of doing that, of sharing experiences. And especially if they're honest and real blogs, then you can turn around and say, I'm not the only one. And one thing that I did find quite hard was after Biff was placed, I found that quite difficult. And that's not really talked about. A lot of people talk about postnatal depression, but there's a lot that needs to be said about post-adoption blues, I think. because although there's no physiological or chemical or biological reasons why you'd have it, I certainly suffered from it. And I now know that an awful lot of adopters do, because you go to this massive plateau of wanting a baby, and then you're placed with a baby or a child, and then you realise it's really difficult, and you've got a bond, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, ultimately, initially, you're looking after somebody else's child. Mm. And to get over those feelings, and for the child to trust you, and for you to trust the kid, and to kind of... To get to know one another isn't an overnight thing at all. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a social worker breathing down your neck, all the expectation of your friends and family that everything's going to be fine now, and then very little in terms of, I didn't have anyway, support network. It's quite a lot. It's quite a tall order, I think.
If you could talk to yourself sort of then, now, as it were, would you say to yourself, it's all going to be all right? Did you know it was going to be all right?
And I didn't know. I was really disappointed in myself, because I was like, I've wanted this for so long. And you know, Vicky had been kind of, you know, you've wanted this for so long. And there's this kind of, why am I feeling miserable? I shouldn't be feeling this. And an awful lot of like self-flagellation about it. But what if you ask, what would I do differently? I think I would say to myself, go out and do the things that you really enjoy doing. Because I did an awful lot of the going out to groups that I think would be beneficial for Biff, like the Diddy dancing.
Yeah.
Awful names, sorry.
Oh, I went there once and I was like, this all smells like wee. I want to go home.
No, it was awful. Diddy dancing and
we sing and sign. Did you ever do
no,
sing?
Oh, no.
Absolutely. I was making some signs by the end. Honestly.
What I should have been doing, should have been in the pub.
With us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Down the Withers.
Oh, down the Withers. Are you allowed 2 pints now? Is that what you're allowed in your Wetherspoon? I think there's a amount that you're allowed to drink, isn't there, as a family? Isn't there two drink rule in Wetherspoons?
Oh, is there?
I think
is
so,
there?
Yeah.
If what? There is, I've broken it, my friend. I have
think it's
broken
2 pints and you're out and you've got kids.
Ellie's back now that she's coughed it out.
I'm back in the game.
Back in the game.
So what are things like now? Do you feel, you know...
Sort brilliant.
Of, you know what you're doing? Because I don't. That's why I'm asking. Please help me.
Two boys.
Yeah, because
they say girls wreck your heart and boys wreck your home.
Oh,
I would say that adage is probably very true. Considering I just found today,
this is the nicest Ellie's house will ever look.
Well, I found today pictures of Fireman Sam on my leather sofa in ink.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's an effort.
Thank you, Bill. I'm very happy now. One of the reasons why I'm so happy is because throughout the adoption process, a support group was set up by a good friend of mine now, Andy, called New Family Social. And that completely transformed our lives, I have to say. Because there wasn't any support, there wasn't anybody to talk to prior to New Family Social. But Andy set it up as a gay guy, and he didn't at that point have any children. He was just going through the process. And he set it up for support, kind of social support, and for advice, and for socialising. Mm. And as a result of NFS, New Family Social, our support network is now massive. And we've now got too many friends and too many families to hang out with. And I'm overburdened with play dates. It's fantastic, actually.
Oh,
and
that's great.
And what is also good is, as an old hand adopter, I can now pass on my sage-like advice to people who are new to the process.
So what are your sort of top tips then when, you know, people come and say, oh, I'm thinking of doing this, or
my
I'm...
top tips? Yeah. Top tips... that you both need to be on board. It's not really great if one of you is like, I'd say. My other top tips would be get as much information and advice as you can. Through New Family Social, or through looking at Adoption UK or BAF, and through reading as well. Reading as many books as you possibly
and what's
can.
BAF?
That stands for the British Association of Adopters and Foster Carers.
Okay.
So that would be my advice. And read as much as possible and actually do it, because I think it's a fantastic experience. Mm. And ultimately, you're giving children who've had a bit of a negative experience or would have potentially not actually had the care that they deserved,
you're giving them a chance, and I think it's great.
I think it's, and also there's no upward age limit to adoption.
Mm.
So for older families who've got children already, mm. who are thinking, well, you know, we're too old to actually procreate.
Whatever. Don't want to have sex.
Whatever it is you heterosexuals do.
Cut a hole in a sheet. Yes.
Like I say, yeah, off we
very
go.
Drunk.
Twice a year.
Drunk. Really get a bursary.
Put on a week. Birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries.
That's right.
Well,
turn the lights off.
No, I think it's a great opportunity, and there's an awful lot of children in care, an awful lot of children who would benefit from being in a loving household, and I think do it would be my advice.
That is very good advice. I like that advice a lot. Excellent.
Very good.
Good.
Yeah, that was like proper useful information.
I know.
I think we should play a stupid game.
All right. Just to balance it out.
Just get too useful.
Caroline said something really beautiful, and now I'm just going to take it to the other end.
You're
going to
take us on a musical journey, Helen.
I am.
I love it when you do that.
So I like a game in the podcast, Carolyn, and because you and Ellie have both got two boys, I thought I'd do a musical game focused on boys. So it's called Boy, I Love That Song.
Lovely.
Yeah. Boy in capitals, the rest in normal.
Normal.
Anyway.
Former subject of the Times.
Comic Sans.
Yeah. That's her favourite font.
So I'm going to play some songs on my roll-out piano, and you have to guess them, the title. Where did I put my book? Shut up. There we are. There we go. Ready?
Yes.
Ready? Oh, no, here
we go. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, ready?
Still ready.
Not a clue.
That wasn't even music.
Again, ready.
Boys by Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
No.
That was the only song I could think of with the word boys in the
title. It was American Boy by Kanye and Estelle.
Of course it was.
In your head it was.
That's how that's supposed to be.
This is what you played.
That's the sound that I just heard.
All right.
I thought it was chopsticks.
No. All right. Another? Ready?
No.
Just want it to stop. Just.
Again, ready?
No.
Drop the boy.
Were Bros big in Australia?
Yeah, they're huge.
Really?
Yeah, massive. Oh,
wow.
Ready?
How shocking.
This is an advanced one. Ready?
Helen, can you handle this? Beyonce.
I've worked really hard on this game. Ready? Okay, just turn the lid. Ready?
Is it The Chain by Fleetwood Mac?
No, again. I know what girls like. I know what boys
want. No.
I know what girls like.
And it's not this.
It's by The Waitresses.
Of course.
Anyway, never mind. Okay.
Sorry. Please, can we stop now?
Don't you want me to do bad boys, what you gonna do?
Not really. No. Not
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boil. Okay, so that was that game.
Thank you, that was
what
lovely.
What a success. Great. All right,
I enjoyed it very much for all the wrong reasons.
Let's talk about Carolyn's book, shall
we? I'll
roll up the piano. All right, good.
Roll up the piano again. It's time now for Book Chat.
So, Carolyn, you've written a book.
I have. God, how long does that take?
It's like a lot of effort.
How long does that take from go to woe? From go to woe, probably about a year to get out.
Wow.
Because I had to talk to a lot of people in order to get it out there. Mm-hmm. Most notably the illustrator, who actually did a sterling job. Sophie Humphries, thank you very much.
So it's called Two Dads.
It's called Two Dads. It's based on two lovely fellas who live just around the corner, actually. And I was also a bit bored with seeing very earnest books about same-sex couples and an awful lot of books produced by adoption agencies talking about same-sex adoption in a very kind of dry, boring way, about social workers coming round and it all been a bit heavy and boring. And I just wanted a very normal book that was fun, that reflected the kind of dads that we were hanging out with. And I've also written Two Mums as well, which will be out soon.
Oh, so that's the sequel. I was thinking, is the sequel going to be Three Dads? You know, let's just take this to the next
one. Couldn't we? And the feedback from the book so far has been very positive, in that a lot of people have said, actually, it really reflects our lives and the reality of our lives. And it isn't an earnest plug for adoption. It's just fun.
Mm. Oh, and so you've put it out there. It's available on Amazon currently.
Currently, but soon to be available elsewhere in all minor bookshops in the area.
All struggling independents.
All struggling have greased their palms. Yeah, no, it will be in all bookshops, I'm sure, soon. But I'd also like it to be in schools, and I've got a lot of friends who've picked the book up and said, actually, it should be in schools as well, because there are an awful lot of LGBT families, and irrespective of whether you're adopted or not, the fact that it's a book about two dads is great. Probably the best review I read was one couple said that the little boy has read it and he wants to read it every night, and they said it was a really fair reflection of what life is like for them. And that's what I wanted it to be. Just we're kind of quite normal, really.
You
know, none of us have 10 heads or
no.
Well,
you do shit sparkles. Yes, you know, we've all got our talents. Oh, well, look, dear list, I'm just eating some nuts and then I'm talking.
That's fresh, and that's the way Jenny Murray does it.
Keeps my marriage alive. But yes.
I met her chihuahuas the other day, you know.
What?
I met Jenny Murray's chihuahuas the other day.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, no, it does not.
Where do you hang out?
In Dulwich Park.
How did you know that they were Jenny Murray's?
Because the dog walked.
Because their glasses were half down their noses.
Did she make them wear little dog t-shirts with her face on?
No. So I overheard the dog handler say, I've got Jenny Murray's dogs, to the person, the other dog handler, who happens to be a friend of mine.
Oh, well, wow. There you are.
Yeah.
And then along came Fee Glover's Great Dane. And you're at a party. Jane Garvey's massive German Shepherd turned up.
That's right. Oh, dear.
Excellent. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, Helen, what have we done?
I think we've cracked that nut, Ellie.
I think we have cracked that nut. Very exciting.
Excellent, excellent. So buy the book, Two Dads. Not My Two Dads. No. Two Dads.
Two Dads by
Carolyn Robertson. Mm-hmm. So we have, dear listener, come to this part of the show, which I like to call Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Oh, you like to call it that, do you?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I do as well. What a coincidence.
So I went home for Christmas to Australia, and my dear darling 6-year-old had travel sickness the entire way.
Ouch.
And so we left good old Forest Hill at about 5:30 in the morning, and she was so excited, she hadn't slept much. And for breakfast she had a cup of milk and a cup of juice.
Oh
no toast, nothing to kind of lie in the stomach.
No.
Anyway, so we're hurtling through the back streets of Peckham, and she's like, I feel sick. We're like, just hold on. And we got to the King's Road of all places, and she just threw up in the cab all over herself.
Sprayed in Chelsea. Thank you.
So I was like, stop it, girl! She's like covered in chunks. And then, so there was a Pret that was open at that early doors, and I rush her down the stairs, and I just took off the onesie, the knickers, and the vest, and threw it all in the bin, because I thought, I'm not taking vomit-soaked clothes on a 24-hour flight to Australia. And so I dressed her, wiped her down. We all got the hand sanitizer out.
Oh, so gross.
It's so filthy. And then she proceeded to vomit the entire 24-hour flight, like blah, 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 blah. And then we got to Singapore, and I said, just have some lemonade. And then she just, like, we were going through security, she was just vomiting.
Poor
little darling. And then we got to Australia and she was fine. But it was just, and then we did it in reverse. And so just before we got back, and then just vomited 3 times in the cab going from Heathrow to home. And I was like, we're not doing that flight again for a very long time.
Oh, that's very
good. Yeah, so yeah, I thought that was quite scummy. How about everyone else?
Well, my scummy mummy confession is that yesterday I took Charlie to Sainsbury's. That's exciting in itself.
Yes.
So I said, look, we're going to be a long time in the supermarket. I'm going to put you in the trolley. But if you behave afterwards, I will take you to McDonald's.
Oh,
so that was all
happy
fine.
Happy times.
All good. So then, like, we're walking, like, through the car park. And he starts going very loudly, "Mummy, mummy, when we go to McDonald's, are we going to go in McDonald's or are we going to drive through?" And I'm like, well, we're gonna drive through McDonald's. And he goes, okay, because usually, mummy, when we go to McDonald's, we go in usually when we always go to McDonald's. And like everyone in the car park is just like, yeah.
I love McDonald's.
I am a scumbag.
There we go.
Oh, Carolyn, do you have a confession for us?
I have many. When we first adopted Biff, we decided to go out for the day. Actually, it was a walk round Blackie and then went to the pub. That was our first trip out with
good
Biff.
Ladies, good.
So we got to the pub. And I said to Vic, what do you want? And she said, I'll have a steak and chips. And I was like, I think I'll have cod and chips. And we were sat there ordering. And then we looked at Biff and we're like, what's he having? It was 8 months. And we realised we couldn't actually order off the menu. So then we looked in our baby bag for food and there wasn't any at all. There was nothing. There were just nappies and some wet wipes. And so I said, well, what's he going to eat? Because he was just weaned. And so Vicky had to disappear and get to the shop just before it shut to get him a jar of Heinz little kid food, baby food stuff.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say ketchup. I just spoon fed him.
We didn't know.
We saw salad cream.
Very nice.
Quite scummy, our first trip out with our new son.
That's it, really. Scummy mummy confessions done.
Yeah, so just a reminder, the book is called Two Dads and it's out now from Amazon. How much does it cost?
I think it's $8.99.
And your blog is sparklypoo.com.
It is on WordPress. Yes, sparklypoo on WordPress. And read it and enjoy it.
Are you on the Twitter as well, Carolyn?
I do tweet. I do. At Carolyn Adopt.
Excellent.
We're on the Twitter.
We are. We're at Scummy Mummies, Ellie. And we're on Facebook. Just look up Scummy Mummies Podcast. You can email us scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com. And our website is scummymummies.com.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I think we've covered all the avenues. Yes.
That's it. Well, thank you very much for listening. And until next time.
Bye-bye. Come on. Everyone loves that song.
Boy.
That's not how that song goes. That's not how that song goes.
Really,
that is the
I'm
wrong
sorry.
Key. That is the wrong octave. It's a game, Ellie. Have fun. Have fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.